would you say if I said that I could bring him back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might wanna stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
The night when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
And here we are, another episode of St. John Forward Radio. I'm your host, John Forward. We're on local FM 107.3 in St. John. First episode of St. John Forward Radio for 2017. It's been a big year in John Forward terms. I don't care about anybody that died or anything that happened in the world. It's all about John Forward. And as far as I'm concerned, it wasn't bad. There was some bumps in the road, but the comedy career is chugging along, if you want to call it that. I started out a year ago, last January. I was deep in the original New Brunswick comedy beef, John Forward versus Shane Ogden. That was going on back then. Shane and I had exchanged some words, and there was lots of butt-hurtedness on both ends, and things said publicly, things said privately, and we're all past that now. Shane and I are tentatively on good terms these days. We're coming up on comedy contest season yet again. Last year, I entered the old James Mullinger comedy boot camp and gave it all my efforts. You had to beg and plead your friends to vote for you day out. It wasn't just a one-vote thing. Like, all of you people that surely voted for St. John Forward Radio as the best spoken word campus radio program this year. But the voting thing refreshed every day. So in order to even have a chance, you had to have a bunch of people who would regularly vote day after day after day on multiple computers, and I don't know, maybe some of these younger guys using some kind of computer algorithm to cheat. Who knows? But that didn't end up being the case. I made a funny video about it. I was just telling my guest Travis here about it. You can find it on my YouTube channel. There's a kind of a compilation of, I did the John Horward show, so 20 days in a row I did a short video and put it up on my Facebook. There's like a medley version of that that ends with the day 20 of me shooting myself in the head because I lost the contest. Long time John Forward fans know that that's kind of how MC Crosswalk died too, and a bit of self-plagiarization there, but that kicked off a little bit of beef action where somebody out there who also had problems didn't advance in the comedy boot camp, they posted their own thing on Facebook and unfortunately thought that my shooting myself in the head video was kind of a dig on the other person when it's just John Forward being John Forward, and that's all it was. But nothing can be said to make that thing go away. And then the Hubcap Comedy Festival's in Moncton. That's probably coming up either this month or next. I won't do boot camp again, but I'll probably do the Hubcap. Just because I don't know, it's another show to do. It's interesting. You get to say that you were doing it. I have no illusions that I'm going to win. The first time that I went, I got snowed in and I couldn't drive to Moncton, so I had to hitchhike with a truck driver, and I arrived at the venue about 15 minutes before I had to go on, and back then I had to be very, really highly scripted and very over-prepared for every show, so I hadn't really had a chance to run through my set in my head a bunch of times. I don't have to do that as much anymore. I try to be looser with it, but didn't have a chance to prepare. Went up, did terrible, lost. Last year, I had my act together. I got up there on my own. I did really well. I thought that I killed it, but did not place. Didn't make it in the top three, so I did well, but Still didn't win, so this year I'm just going to take a different tact. And like I said, I did bad 1 year and lost. I did good the next year. So I'm going to have to do terrible really well this year. So I think I'm just going to do something highly inappropriate just to make an impact. I know I'm not going to win, but those people are going to remember me. So we'll see how that goes. Then what should have been the crown jewel of my year, my April 2016 was first time I got to headline a show that I didn't put myself on. It was a big thing. It was at the Delta in Fredericton. I was very excited about it. The person that books the show posted online looking for suggestions for headliners, and I posted my own name as kind of a half-serious joke, but the guy took me up on it, and I agreed to do it, and I put together a show. It was only going to be a half-hour headline set. It wasn't going to be a full hour anyway, but I put together a half-hour. I'd done a half-hour before at O'Leary's. This is kind of a different situation. I may have gone a little bit overboard in the presentation of it. I had like 5 musical cues and a lighting change that needed to happen in the middle just to trick people into thinking that I was some sort of professional comedian, and the trick didn't work. Of the 80 people that showed up, none of them sat in any of the seats that I could see from the stage. And of those 80 people that came, 28 of them walked out before the show ended. And that's something to be proud of in and of itself. I hate those people, and I'm glad they left. And you just got to keep moving on. And then the Splootcast bomb happened, where he put out the State of the Union address, and that actually before that, after my blog, or after the headline thing, I wrote a pretty lengthy blog post that. It's on johnforward.com if you want to read that. I go through the whole thing, the whole process from beginning stages through the failed execution, and other people were involved in the story, and that created more of a beef with the original person that was upset about the boot camp video. That just poured gas on that fire, and then there's another person that I thought I was friends with from Halifax that... There was one sentence in there about this person being offended to be asked to open for me that I just mentioned. It wasn't like I was calling somebody out or drawing it. Nobody knew who that was until this particular person chose to start mouthing off on Facebook. But that got out of hand. I tried to send that person a message like, look, I thought we were friends. We've always gotten along in real life. Does this need to continue? And then this person's response was a lengthy F you, John Forward, and here's why message. So I said, never mind, and I blocked that person. And then shortly after that, Mark Splood put out his podcast because he was all upset with Mark Burnett. Oh, like, I don't know why that's the one person I've decided to name names. I'm sorry, Mark Burnett. Not trying to call anybody out. I've had no personal bad dealings with Mark Burnett. He's another showrunner in the area, but he's had some unsavory dealings with friends of mine, and I told him, I said, I'm not thrilled that this happened and that I heard this happened and this happened, but it is what it is. If you want to discuss, then I'm open with that. And he said, no, thank you, and blocked me and everyone that I'm friends with. And that's been at a standstill, but keep on going. I after making up with Shane Ogden, I told Shane that now I'm naming names left and right. after this whole thing with the fighting with the Splood cast and the blog post, I sent Shane Ogden a message saying that I only had it into me to be mad at 5 people at a time, and he got bumped to number 6, so we're good by default, and that keeps on. I've done chuckles a couple of times since then, had a good time. I bombed one of those shows, but I made up for it the second night. Yuck Yucks is coming in a couple of weeks. They've got a show. I'll plug it. James Mullinger, you finally get your chance to see him, and he's on the opening weekend of Yuck Yucks. People have different opinions on how that whole thing's going to go. I'm just kind of a wait and see. The only thing I care about is whether or not John Forward gets to hit that stage. And I don't have any reason to think that's going to happen anytime soon. I did do Yuck Yucks in Halifax in September, which was 2/3 of a positive experience. I did well on Thursday. I did well on Friday. Saturday, sold out show, fundraiser for girls' soccer team, not my crowd. I pretty much got booed off the stage that night, and that was a big blow. I've been working on crowd work since then, just as kind of a plan B when I'm in a situation like that where an audience hates everything that I have to say that I wrote down that I think is funny, so that I can just switch into that and say stupid, goofy things that if I'd thought of it at my house, sitting at my kitchen table, I would say, I'm not going to tell that joke because it's stupid. But in the moment, I can tell a stupid joke because I don't have that same filter, and stupid people like stupid jokes, so it's good to have that in the back pocket. Oh, just doing shows and getting a little bit better every time. We had the roast of John Forward a few weeks ago, December 9th. All of my good comedy, there's all kinds of beefs in the comedy scene, but we got together with a group of people that I'm currently not beefing with, and we all these lines get drawn, and they're being drawn by other people. If I had to pick a side, which I was kind of forced into, I'm okay with the side that I'm on, but I'm not the one that forced there to be sides, and anybody that has decided that they're on a different side than I am is welcome to discuss things with me like adults. But if that doesn't happen, then I'm good with the people that are still with me, and we just want to do shows and have a good time, tell jokes, and hang out before and after the shows and keep on having fun. Maybe some of us will get to do Yuck Yucks, maybe not. Maybe they'll close down, maybe they'll be a super success. Maybe James Mullinger will mention No Jokes Barred in an interview. Who can say? But I'm looking forward to 2017, and I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing, and it's going to be what it's going to be. No sense fussing about it. You just keep doing it. I'm here with Travis Boyce. You've heard him cough several times. How are you doing, Travis?
Good. How are you, man?
Good. They've just listened to me talk for 13 minutes, so let's take a break so I can have a drink, and we're going to play a song, and this is just going into 2017. We need to take the egos out of New Brunswick comedy, because it doesn't matter. We're just having fun, and there's no sense getting all weird about it. So here's a new Tribe Called Quest song, Ego, on St. John Forward Radio.
Skip a trippin' in my mind. Ego, ego. Skip a trippin' in my mind. Ego, ego. Chippa, 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 chippa. Ego, ego. I got one, you got one, and now we equal. Sometimes it makes you trip out on your people. Sometimes it has connotations of evil. Sometimes niggas call on it when they need you. It's called an ego. To really make your subject positively stated. Some may hate it, and some may overrate it. It's a top story, and you rarely see a trend. So all you psychoanalysts, pull out your pad and pen. It's called the ego. Come up with an idea, and no one seems to get it. And every time you mention it, they stare like you're two-headed. But one day in your cubicle, your idea really comes to view. Your boss is walking by, he sees it too, and he takes it from you. She puts you on the aces of all the stripper places. It has the kind of clientele where niggas trickle very well. You beg her and you plead her and you tuck away your ego. She knows you need
need the chicken and you know that she's your people. They call you fat and lazy, the commentary crazy. They photoshopped your face on the box of McCormick gravy. And now that inner voice, the ego maker, you get wavy. Change your diet, hit the gym and say, what were you saying to me? The ego makes you do it, it makes you face the music. Or run away from life so fast that you'll outspend Carl Lewis. It has you think your deceptive ways of being our truest. Have the prettiest brown eyes, but you change the shit into bluest. The ego. Celebrated genius, my dick game's the meanest. I'll take the girl that's augmented, new me is invented. I'll take the biggest house in Calabasas. Anyone for Michael Phelps swimming classes? You need it when you're ballin', equally when you're falling. Or when those kids in school on your locker, they get to scrawling. Epitaphs is racist and stupid and mean in nature. Something that can make you feel stronger when people hate ya. Ego can make you violent, or govern like a tyrant. Or switch a dictionary's word from vibrant to vibrant. Fool the thirsty people, sell them tap water and bottles. Fool the girl with NYU scholarship, now she models. Ego has no ending, has people pretending. Religious zealots get pellets cause God's Lord they're defending. This is the last tribe and our ego hopes that you felt us. In closing for our ego, we know only God can help us. Ego, ego, I got an ego. 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 Ego, ego, I got an ego.
Santana?
What? What about Santana?
No, have you ever listened to Anthony Fantana?
Oh, no.
Yeah, he does the Needle Drop Reviews music, and The Tribe Called Quest was on his top 10 list for the year.
Yeah. No, it's a solid album. It's one of those kind of feels like it shouldn't be good, and they're just kind of throwing it out as a nostalgia thing, just because it's a Tribe Called Quest album. It didn't really have to be good, but it was. And, yeah, lots of good stuff come out this year. I probably could have put together some sort of a list if I had thought about this at all and given it any forethought, but I don't know. I'm here with Travis Boyce, by the way. Do you have any other albums of note from 2017?
I really enjoyed Nails' new album, You'll Never Be One of Us.
I think I have that on my phone. I haven't listened. Let me see. I think I do. I haven't listened to it yet. Yeah, You Will Never Be One of Us. I've got it on my phone. I think I read a review of it or something and downloaded it.
Crazy aggressive, crazy fast, in your face. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, if we have time, we might hear a song off that later in the show. Yeah, there's a new the new De La Soul album came out this year. That was really good. There was a new Meshuggah album out this year that was good.
New Run the Jewels?
Yeah, New Run. I think that was technically... Did that come... Yeah, that came out before... We're only on the second day of 2017.
Yeah.
I think that was supposed to come out in January, but they decided to release it like 3 weeks early.
Yeah, it was on Christmas, wasn't it?
Yeah, it came out on Christmas. Yeah. Going to see them in February.
Yeah, that's awesome. In Maine, right?
Yeah, Portland. Sweet. It's going to be a good time. It's on the weekend. We're thinking about, I haven't looked into it. I probably should soon. Going down and maybe going there on, I think the show, I don't know if the show's on a Thursday or a Friday night, and then maybe going down to Boston for a night and then back or something. See if anything's going on. But, yeah, lots of good stuff going on in 2016. How about, comedy for you? I talked about some of, stuff that happened with me this year. What's been going on with you?
Well, it was a pretty good year for me in 2016. I made the finals of two comedy competitions. I was in Hubcap with you.
Yeah.
And I also made the finals of Comedy Boot Camp.
Yeah, through cheating.
Yeah, well, yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do, man. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And then I got to open up for my favorite Canadian comedian, Jason Rouse. And I also opened up for Nikki Payne.
Yeah.
And I did my first out-of-province show in PEI. As terrible as it was cool to get that off the bucket list, so to speak.
Yeah, I did a show in PEI this year. It was interesting. I did well, but it was kind of a sketchy night. It went up and down, and it's fully lit, and there's lots of people talking. It's an odd one. It's a long drive.
Even sketchy would be better than what happened to me in PEI. It was just...
Well, let's hear it. I don't know. This isn't the one that I was at, was it?
No, I went up... Brittany Campbell invited me up, and I forget the name of the venue off the top of my head.
The Whiskey?
No, but Baba's Lounge. Okay. Baba's Lounge.
And I don't know that one.
It's one of those situations of be careful what you wish for, because I've always wanted to do a show for a crowd that's like all under 30, mm-hmm. because, oh, that'd be great. You'll be less offended, right, you would think. But it was very much a university crowd, and you could tell by their body language they were offended by a lot of the jokes I had to say. They just recoiled and like, ew. Like I heard one woman just go like, ugh. Like she couldn't believe what I just said. So it was not a good night for me.
Yeah, it's hard figuring out which. I don't know. I've done some shows. Like a couple of years ago, I went out with James Mullinger to Yarmouth for. He went down for an episode of his Blimey show, and we did a theater in Yarmouth, and probably the average age in the audience was like 60. It was all old people, but I still did my I did Bible camp and like the Diamond Stripper story, and I killed it. Those old biddies loved it. Sometimes they like it naughty. I don't know.
It really is like a coin flip sometimes. You never know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. We need to do some like market research and get some graphs, because it's not just age. Like, because there's some young people that are crybabies about stuff, and there's some old people that are crybabies about stuff.
Yeah,
it's really hard to tell. But I don't know. Yeah, I did a show at the Algonquin a couple of weeks ago. This was the closest I've done. Well, this was like kind of a corporate Christmas party. It didn't have to be clean or anything. And it was just somebody else was booked on this show, and they just asked me to open for them, probably just so that they didn't have to do the whole thing by themselves. Mm-hmm. And it was various Christmas parties for different businesses in St. Andrews, and like some of them were into it and some of them weren't. But like anytime where it's something like that, where it's just a buffet and it's somebody's Christmas party and there happens to be a comedian there, it's always weird. And like I did well with my cheesy crowd work at the beginning. Once I got into the material, it was less good. There was some lulls, but in that case I did a relatively clean set. I threw in some swears just because the headliner said that I was allowed to, but I probably could have done without them. But my problems with the joke were just with the joke, because there was a lull. There's a boring part of the story that needs to be punched up, so that was my fault. But after the show, it seemed like the headliner like killed it, as far as I could tell. Like I missed the first 5 minutes because I went outside for some fresh air after my set and came back in, and he seemed to be killing it as far as I know. But afterwards I found out he was just upset like the whole time, and thought that the whole show was ruined because there was this one table in the front that was that like yelled something about if Larry the Cable Guy was coming on next and they would like that better, and they were really offended that he was working dirty or something. And after the show, they came up and complained to him, and they're Christians and they don't like the F word and like they came back. They were there the last year and they weren't going to come back, but their employees talked them into coming back again this year. And he just assumed that because they complained a lot last time, that the problem was going to be dealt with, and that his particular taste matters compared to the other 99% of the room that was into it. It's very selfish when people do that. I don't know. Sorry I interrupted you.
No, no, I don't think you did.
Yeah, so was that PEI show, was that your worst show of the year?
Let me think. I did fairly poor on one of the No Jokes Bards, for sure. It was to Bray's and Sam's first show.
Okay.
And I was almost like so invested in them doing good, I almost didn't focus on myself. And it was very last minute.
Yeah, that was, I think I messaged you to that day.
You did. Maybe. But, you know, but it was still fun. I still had a fantastic night, so no complaints there. So I'd say PEI was just worse, because, like, if I do bad at No Jokes Bar, whatever, I'm with all my friends, but I'm in PEI, I'm in a bar full of strangers. I'm like, well, this is terrible, and this whole new audience thinks I suck now, probably. But
yeah, because that's 100% of their thing. Like, at the R Bar, that's kind of built in, that some of it's going to be good and mm-hmm. some of it's not going to be good, but it's all towards the same goal of eventually being good. It's kind of our garage for band practice, and there just happens to be people in the room, and there's that expectation. Like, I've never ever after a set where somebody bombed or did really badly and be like, you better shape up, mister, if you want to ever come back on this stage. Like,
oh, no.
That's what it's for. I bomb as much as anybody at the Air Bar.
And I just think, like, you know what? They're not asking for my opinion, so I'm not going to make they probably feel bad themselves. I'm not going to make them feel worse by getting in their face about it. So,
well, and just the no jokes barred thing isn't just about offensive jokes and about this. It means, I don't know, I want to give people somewhere where they can fail with without having to worry about whether the booker is upset with them and whether they'll be asked back again.
You can flesh out your material.
Yeah, I'd rather somebody try something and fail than just kind of hold back because they're not sure if it's going to go over well and it might rub somebody the wrong way or whatever. I just want to see what happens. And speaking of which, there's one coming up this Friday. It's not the R Bar, the open mic one. This one is slightly more polished. That's the idea. But, you know, it's still no jokes barred, so people are going to do whatever they want to. I've done new stuff there, and people do that. But we like to pretend like it's more of a showcase. It's no jokes barred deluxe. It's more carefully chosen, and people are doing longer sets. That's coming up this Friday. But the next R Bar show is on the 21st. Young Travis here can't make it because he's got another show at the Delta where I had my headline gig for the Battle of Comedians. I'm going to be doing one of those in March. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be battling Jimmy McKinley and Corey Hartland. Hartland, or there's no D at the end of that. I think it's just Hartland.
Yes, Hartland.
Hartland is the city in New Brunswick. But let's take a musical break. What's your musical request, Travis?
I'm going to request a band from Syracuse, New York, Earth Crisis. They have a song called Broken Foundation, and they're like one of the OG straight edge hardcore bands from the 1990s, and I'm a huge
straight
fan
edge vegan, according to their profile description on here.
They do a lot for animal rights.
We've got some Travis Boyce propaganda. No,
come on,
St. John Forward Radio. Let's go. Straight Edge Vegan, Earth Crisis, requested by Travis Boyce. So, tell us, why are you better than everybody, Travis?
Oh, come on. Well, I'm straight edge, and for those of you at home that don't know what that means, that means I don't drink, I don't smoke, and I don't do any form of drugs. And that kind of stems from high school. When I entered grade 9, a lot of my friends started using drugs and stuff, which is fine, but a lot of them changed personality-wise.
Yeah.
And it was frustrating to watch. Like, and that's all they would talk about. Like, they just brag about how smashed they got over the weekend and stuff. And that didn't really interest me. And I was always sober. Like, I never really smoked or did drugs or drank. But I never felt cool for doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, you've never been, like, really sanctimonious about it that I've noticed anyway.
Oh, no. But I think the moment that, like, I really found out about it was a couple members of a band called Cancer Bats were straight edge, and I looked into that, and I started listening to a band called Minor Threat.
Yeah.
And Minor Threat had a song called Straight Edge, and had a song called Out of Step, and right there, it was like, oh, like, there's other people who do this and are like-minded, and I actually, you know, don't feel like a loser for not doing these things anymore, and it's been that way ever since.
I was the same way through most of high school. I never did anything. None of my friends that I hung out with were, like, super heavy drinkers, or I didn't really know anybody that smoked pot or did anything until I moved to Grand Bay in 12th grade, and people from Grand Bay tend to drink more than others, but I used to go to the parties with them and not drink or smoke or anything and just had a good time. And it wasn't really a big deal. I didn't have any, like, philosophy behind it. Like, I wasn't trying to be part of any kind of movement or something. I just didn't really see what the point was. And, I think in March of 12th grade, I think, which is late start for a New Brunswick drinker. I got my first part-time job or something, and my friend was, on Friday night, was like, you coming to this party? Yeah. Which is not unusual. I'd go anyway. And then he jokingly, like, sarcastically, you going to get hammered? And I'm like, sure. And, he bought me a Colt 45, and I took one sip of that, and it was disgusting. And I traded for some sugary mudslides with a girl and drank that. And we jumped on a trampoline. I think I stole somebody's Blue Typhoon out of the fridge. Like, blue freezy booze. It's a good mix with jumping on the trampoline. And even then, I was like, this is what all the fuss is about. I'm still not enamored. I will have some drinks if I have the opportunity to, but I've never, you probably heard the Hammered Cast. Like, I don't know what Mark Splute had in his mind, but I don't really get super hammered. I don't think I've ever had a blackout, and I just do it because I can. I don't know.
And like you said, but, as well, like, oh, go ahead.
No, keep going.
I was just saying, like, and like, I don't care what other people do. Like, just this past New Year's, I drove my drunk friends around, and, you know, I've driven my high friends to get fast food and stuff before, right? Like, it doesn't bother me. Like, you do you and I do me, and as long as we respect each other, it's all good.
You're not curious, though? Like, for part of it for me is just, I like to experience new things.
Well,
and,
like,
I don't know, just if there's anything that just is an option that isn't, like, super too risky that you can do. Just
well,
to
like,
see
what I've tried stuff. Like, I've had a few drinks when I was a teenager, but, like, one, I thought most of it tasted disgusting, and again, it just never appealed to me. Like, getting drunk never appealed to me. The last drink I had was actually Halloween 2008, and my friend poured Bacardi in my Sprite, and I was like, okay, well, suddenly my Sprite's, like, brown. Like, you don't think I'm not gonna notice this? And to be a sport, I drank it, but I said, like, don't do that again, and I haven't drank since then. And the only time I tried marijuana was my friend had a weed cookie, and, like, I took a nibble of it, and it was delicious, so I just finished it. I didn't get high, but that was more for my love of cookies than my love of drugs. So that's the only time I ever tried weed.
I think I might have taken a puff off a joint before I ever had a drink. I think I was at a party, and I was just trying to impress a girl, and I was, like, talking to somebody, and the joint came around, and I, like, took, like, I don't think I even inhaled it, but rather than say no, because, again, at the time, it wasn't like I was taking a stance against drugs or anything. It just was handed to me. I didn't care enough about it to say no. I cared more about possibly getting to touch a boob. But yeah, I enjoy not being sober.
I mean, that's
but
a good reason any.
But it's, I think the more comedy I do, the less other stuff I do, because I don't like to drink or smoke or anything before I go on stage or do anything. Just because, I don't know, it's especially when you're doing, like if you're at a party, I don't need to be the best I can be, but if I'm on stage, I want to be relatively sharp. And for a while, I thought getting like just pure drunk, like when people are starting comedy, they kind of have this idea that there's a formula, like if this is the circumstances, this is when I do good at comedy. And I thought drinking was without anything else was like the ideal state. But I filmed myself at that first R Bar show and just watched myself get sloppier and sloppier as the night went on, and made a decision that night that I was not going to perform drunk again. I think I may have broken that rule once or twice, but it's definitely a different mindset to it. I used to just, unless I had to drive home or work or the next day, I'd just start drinking when I got there and go up. It's not as bad when you're not hosting and you're going up at one steady state of drunkenness for your whole set, but going up over and over again, it's a lot more apparent. But even, I don't know, I might have one. Just because I'm thirsty and I'm drinking something, I might as well get a head start on getting drunk after the show. But I wouldn't get drunk to go on. It's no fun. But let's take another musical break. Offered Travis one request, but he decided to weasel in a second request. And this, I'm going to accommodate him, because it gives me an extra point on my CanCon. All I could find was a live version of this song. I hope that's
completely
okay, Travis.
Fine.
But we're going to play Happens All the Time by Eric's Trip.
From New Brunswick.
St. John Forward Radio. And then I think after that, we're going to come back with an H to the C classic. We're going to hear my great aunt Edna and her friend Taffy review the movie Deadpool on St. John Forward Radio.
DJs at Coles 684-925. Local 107.3 FM, CFMH.
Ladies on film.
Hi, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to Parents on Film. My name is Edna Fairweather, and I'm here with my friend. Introduce yourself, dearie.
Do I talk? Do I talk in right in here? Do I do this? Hello. Hey, this is Taffy. Just Taffy.
This is my friend Taffy.
Hi.
We're here for Parents on Film.
Yeah.
It's a computer radio show about movies. It's been a long time, Taffy. We did a movie and it was ages. It was August 2014. It's been a year and a half.
Ooh, I don't even remember that. I don't remember what happened earlier this morning, and I won't remember this soon because I've already taken my nighttime juice in.
Oh yes, you're almost about to fall asleep.
She's usually
much more energetic.
Yes. Oh yes, I'm feeling very calm. It's a glass of white wine with an Ambien crushed up into it. So I'll just be getting real calm here soon.
So I'm still single. We're gonna have a ladies' night out.
Mm-hmm.
Should we call this show Ladies on Film?
Yes, let's have it be a girls' night, girls on film, girls watching film on film, girls on going to the movie on putting it on the internet, talking on the internet.
I don't know why this was called Parents on Film before. That was my great nephew John Forward. He's a famous comedy man now.
Is he 18 yet?
Oh, he's 33, Taffy. He's
too old for me.
He's got a nice girl that he's shacked up with. And,
oh well, that's nice. That's what's important.
Me and Josiah, we were never blessed with the gift of life, but John for my grand, he said good for ratings, the parents on, but we're ladies, and he says he's a big enough star now that it doesn't matter, what we can call it what we want.
Is he doing those jokes still?
I gave him a book. I hope he's using it. I can't go see him because
he'd
go to bed early. But it's we're going to the movie. Is it Spider-Man?
Deadpool man.
It's one of those super action movie. And they fight the bad guys, and this will be fun, Taffy.
Ooh, you bet you're going to be girls' night.
Okay, well, Taffy, that's enough. This is the part where they're gonna put in the commercial for the movie, and then we watch the movie, and then we'll come back and we'll finish this after the movie.
I don't know if I'll still. I'm gonna try and stay awake.
Hey, yeah, I wanna shoot.
It's kind of lonesome back here.
A little help here. Oh.
Excuse me.
Woo! Dopinder.
Pool. Dead.
Why the fancy red suit, Mr. Pool?
Oh, that's because it's Christmas Day, Dopinder.
And I'm after someone on my naughty list.
You're probably thinking, this was a superhero movie, but that guy in the suit just turned that other guy into a fucking kebab. Surprise. This is a different kind of superhero story. To tell it right, we gotta take you back before I squeeze this ass into spandex.
Mr. Wilson.
You've recently been diagnosed with terminal cancer.
We can fight this.
What if I told you we can cure you and give you abilities most men only dream of? I'd say that you sound like an infomercial, but not a good one, like Slap Chop, more shake weighty. If I never see you again, know that I love you.
When I'm finished, your mutated cells will heal anything.
But
you still think we're making you a superhero? We're making you a super slave. Oh, come on.
You're gonna leave me all alone here with Jose Canseco?
Whatever they did to me made me totally indestructible and completely...
No.
Unfuckable.
You look like the inside of other people's assholes.
I didn't ask to be super, and I'm no hero. But when you find out your worst enemy is after your best girl, the time has come to be a fucking superhero.
Right up Main Street.
Hear the music.
Let's go give it to you. One way for you to get it on your own. Let's go deliver to you.
We can't allow this, Deadpool.
I don't have time for your X-Men bullshit, Colossus.
Besides, nobody's getting hurt.
That guy was up there before we got here.
Knock, knock, open
it. I played a lot of roles. Damsel in distress ain't one of them.
You gonna rock.
Time to make the chimmy fucking changas.
Rock, don't let it go.
Have you seen this man?
I never say this, but don't swallow. Shit. Did I leave the stove on?
Let's go give it to you.
Yeah, you're way too much dude for me. That's why I brought him.
I mean, that's why I brought her?
Oh, no, finish your tweet.
That's fine. Just give us a second.
Go get her, Tiger.
So pity the dude who pressures her into prom sex.
I don't like this movie,
well,
Taffy.
Well, Edna, what about what about the part with the snowman? Did you see
the snowman before? Tell everybody
so
about
cute.
The snowman. Oh, it was the nicest part.
Oh, there was a snowman, and he did oh my gosh, he did all these kind of shadows, and the little girl. It was a commercial for a refrigerator, and he could just live in that refrigerator, and he had a teddy bear, and it was the best part.
I don't have any room in the fridge for a snowman. There's too many leftovers.
Well, you got that deep freeze downstairs. All you've got to do, Edna, is just defrost her out and get some of those chicken strips out of there. We get to frost some of those up.
Okay, we'll get a snowman, and that was the nice. But then, that wasn't even the movie, though, Taffy. The man, he burned his tongue on the lighter at the beginning.
I don't know how they got. How do you act so slow? Like they just went so. I don't know how they make the movie go so slow. And I was just some talented.
My face would get itchy if I had to stand there and the camera swooping all around.
Can you imagine me standing still?
Made me dizzy. And I wanted to see the names of the people in the movie to see if I know the names, but it was just foolishness at the start.
They didn't. I'll tell you, I don't ever read what's at the start of those movies, because who can... You go to a movie to watch and listen, and who's even reading?
And
not me. Not Taffy.
And they're just... There was blood ooh, yeah. And bleeding, yeah. and
they were doing a wild monkey dance,
shooting. Oh, and the nasty business, and they
every holiday, well, right in the potatoes, right up the taties.
Taffy, those two, that was the nicest part. Those two people, they were living in sin, but. They love each other.
Oh, I bet they were.
And in my nephew, I'm proud of him, and they are married, but they love each other, and they're just shooting people in the face, and they're cutting their heads off. And but the love, and he was afraid that she wouldn't love him because he had the face.
Well, it was,
what's that face?
It's a face of who's the guy that
he's like,
he's in your dream, and he has like a big knife on his hand.
Eddie.
Yeah, Eddie Frugal. I used to watch those movies.
No, so, those funny. those are gross. And but it's just this movie's all swears and boobs and bleeding and shooting and
I don't,
swords and middle fingers.
Ooh, yeah, there were a couple of those middle fingers. I remember seeing some middle fingers. What else was there? There was a big man, and he was made of a metal man. I don't understand how they could make a man be into a metal man.
How does he move? And then the fire bomb explosion girl.
Ooh, I liked her.
The bad girl with the boobies. She didn't show
one fell out.
Yeah, and this is just. There was a young boy in the movie in the row in front. Oh dear.
Well,
oh,
I'll tell you, dear. And I never appreciated the part when they kept telling me to be quiet because I don't understand. Like, you go in to have a social experiment, and I don't understand why they're going to tell me to be quiet during the movie.
And it's not respectful.
No, to me it's disrespectful.
All the cancer and the there's been some dear people that with the cancer, and to put it in a movie like this, it's just
shouldn't be cancer in a movie.
And just balls and holes. That was do you think movie, is this good for parents?
Well, I think it's only good for parents if you have a kid who you are trying to connect with, but I don't know what kids like anymore.
Those poor kids, they're twisted. Is this a good movie for their ladies? There was boobies. I didn't like it. If I want to see a booby, I'll look in the mirror. I don't need to go out and see it in the movies. It's they're not as good as they used to be. I don't want to talk about this. This movie is gross. You don't see it. You go see, if you want to see a nice show, you go to my nephew. I'm so proud of him. To John Forward, he's on the internet, and he's at the shows, and
he's in my dreams.
I got a good idea, I'm gonna go get
mittens. I'm gonna put him on mittens.
Come on Taffy, Taffy, this is a radio show.
Come on.
Mittens.
They can't see mittens.
The end. So that was my Aunt Edna and her friend Taffy.
What the hell just happened?
Movie reviews, Travis. we're nearing the end, so what have you got coming up? You can plug some business.
All right, I have two shows for sure coming up in January. I have one at UMB with James Mullinger. That'd be Thursday, January the 12th. And then I have another one in Fredericton for any of my Fredericton friends who want to come see me. It'll be at the Delta, and I'll be opening up for the Battle of the Comedians. I won't be actually battling myself, but you'll see three great comedians going at it in Mark Splude, Matt Richardson and Arif Hussein. So be sure to make that show.
It's going to be a good show. If you're in St. John, you should come to the R Bar on January 21st, the same night for No Jokes Barred. I have the list. I haven't confirmed with people, so I don't need to get into that. But this coming Friday, January 6th, at O'Leary's, 9 to 11, it's No Jokes Barred Deluxe. I'll be hosting that one. James Hovey is going to be our headliner. He's doing his first half-hour set. And in the featured spots, we've got Ken Bolton, the Reverend Brian Giles, and Mark Splude. And I guess the phone is ringing. Let's see who that is. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, is this Mr. Booth?
Yeah.
Hello?
You're calling the radio booth. You must.
Yes. Yeah, is this John?
It is.
Hey, John. Listen, man. I don't know what I just listened to for 13 minutes. What was that?
It was a movie review for recent film Deadpool. Just so people know whether or not
that was like watching a John Forward set in 2015. You can't do that to people every week, John. What are you running over there?
I'm trying to give my Aunt Edna her big break and put her on the radio, because I think she's got history.
He told all his friends, and we're talking about early 20s, told all his friends, tune in, listen to this radio show, and come on, John.
Well, people need to have the H to the C classic. They can't just go on the website and listen to that exact thing at any time that they want to, so I need to fit it into the hour.
All right, that's a fair enough answer, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right, you're going to talk to me on Friday this week. You're at O'Leary's.
Oh, I'll see you Friday, that's right. Yeah, everybody better get there, that's going to be a good time.
All right, well, we're nearing the end, so perfect timing, right when we're trying to wrap up the show. Thank you again, caller.
Hey, how are you doing, Mark?
Hey, brother.
All right, well, we'll see you Friday. And it's 9:59, so...
All right, bye, John.
Bye. So, No Jokes Barred. O'Leary's this Friday, January 6th. Brian Giles, Mark Splude, Ken Bolton, me, headliner James Hovey. Let's play some Future of the Left until this next show kicks in. So, we've got, like, part of a minute of this song.